Yeah. Okay, admit it, you want to do that to some people, don't you? Well, I'm Ben, I'm the lead pastor here. Hey, I am glad that you are here today. If you were, any of you watched the Seahawks game last night? Okay, three of you, that's great. There are a few fans. We have this great season, we're undefeated, it's awesome. How many of you are convinced this is going to be a good year for the Hawks? All right, you have a lot of faith. I am convinced for a moment as well. And we're in the preseason of church as well. Next week, we're kicking off a new series called Breakthrough. And then, of course, in the fall, things tend to ramp up quite a bit around here. And so really want to make sure you fill out that connection card, because otherwise you're going to probably miss quite a bit of that. You can put that in the offering as it goes by, or a $5 million check, I'm fine either way. And it really would be good so we could be connected with you. Well, what we're doing is today, we're doing what we do about twice a year, is we look at why we do what we do. And today, I'm not going to talk about why we choose the songs we sing and all of that, but more from a theological perspective, what the driving force is, and it's going to be a word you're familiar with, but one that you maybe have not wrestled with. And so we're going to do a little bit of deep thinking today. I hope that you are ready for that, because that's where we're going. I know some of you are deep thinkers. Anyone from a science background, sort of science, a few of you. Yeah, you usually ask, why does this work? And then any of you from an engineering background? Yeah, a lot of you, software, how does this work? And then finance people, what do they always ask? How much does it cost? And then if you have a liberal arts degree, you usually ask, you want fries with that. That's what I have. I have a liberal arts degree. So, we're really going to be looking at some of the whys and the hows when it comes to this thing called grace. Grace is a mixed bag in our society. Sometimes we love to show it, sometimes we don't. You post the wrong thing on Facebook and some people will destroy you. You know what the biggest day is in the history of a church? The biggest attended Sunday usually is? No, not Easter. No, not Christmas. It's if the pastor does something wrong. Yeah, that's it. You know, a moral failure, record attendance the next weekend. In fact, it's sort of funny. I send out about 4 emails a year to the church, and if you're good, you'll read them. So make sure I have your email address, usually when something big's coming up. And sometimes I never know what to put in the subject line to get people to open them. I told my wife I was going to do this, and she told me I really couldn't, because I was going to put in the subject line, I have something to confess. How many of you would have opened up that email? Yeah, every one of you would have opened that one up. I should have just done it anyway. But really, we're mixed bag when it comes to grace. But this is important to understand this at a real deep level. And take your outline out of your program. We'll look at our very first verse, because it says something about the very nature of who God is. It says, the Lord is gracious in Psalm 145. And at Timberlake, we've made a fundamental decision, is that every person here would encounter the grace of God. What you do with it will be your decision. Why? Because we're focused on Jesus. And what does it say in John 1:17? For the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. Now, when people would read this in the first century, they'd say, well, shouldn't it be truth and justice? Well, God is just. In fact, last week we talked about the holiness of God, and that is important. God does care how we live, but it's not the thing we lead with as well. See, grace is what God is about. Jesus brought grace into the world. It says in Romans 5:15, the gift came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis was at a comparative religion conference in, I think it was Oxford or Cambridge. He was actually walking through, and people asked him, well, what's the difference between the world religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism? They were trying to describe it. And he said, that's simple. Christianity, the difference is grace. See, grace is at its core. Colossians 1:6. All over this world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. If you have a pen, will you underline understood God's grace and all its truth? That's what we're going to do today. Why? Because it produces hope. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope and of the glory of God. See, here's the deal. Grace trumps everything. Grace trumps everything. Now, I've shared with those of you who've been around a while, growing up, loved my parents, but they had, you know, an interesting parenting style. My dad never played catch with me. He never taught me how to play basketball. So we didn't really do that. That was one of those lacking growing up. But one of the things my dad did from the time I was probably 6 years old, he taught me how to play blackjack and poker. I'm not even kidding. In fact, I had the opportunity. I didn't receive an allowance. I got to win an allowance. And now you know. I wish I was making this stuff up. I really wish I was. But that's why I am the way I am. So I learned a lot about poker and blackjack and just gambling in general. Now one of the things you learn, and some of you are saying, I thought we were supposed to learn about God in the Bible. Hold on, we'll get there in a moment. One of the things you learn is the idea of the trump card. Yeah, in blackjack, it's usually the ace with a face card. It's a royal flush in poker. And so you're always looking for that trump card, that thing that trumps everything else. And really, the Bible tells us that grace is the trump card. We would think, well, what about my failures and my frailty? Look at what it says in Romans 6:14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are under not under law, but under grace. Well, does God's law exist? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I've seen people, I've even seen churches go to the point where they say, well, it really doesn't matter if we follow God. Well, that's not quite what the scripture teaches. See, a product of grace is how we live. But of course, we never lead with that. So it really does matter in a real significant way. Sort of like when it comes to gravity. An airplane doesn't destroy the laws of gravity. It overpowers it. By its aerodynamics. And so that's really what grace does in our life. Well, what is the power of grace? The power of grace is invitation. It's invitation. This is, by the way, for those of you who like to study theology, this is called prevenient grace. This is the grace that exists before I even know God exists. It talks about it in Romans chapter 1, if you want to write that to the side. The idea is that we all get this sense that God is there and that God has given us some great gift called grace, that we all get that. And it doesn't matter. We're all invited. It's like being on the front porch. Everyone gets to be there. It doesn't matter if you're, whatever your thing is. If you're athletic or not athletic, if you're a techie or a non-techie, if you're political season, if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian, or if you're still holding out for Ralph Nader and the Green Party. It really doesn't matter where you're at. Every single person is invited. Now, not everyone will accept. Bible talks about that quite a bit. It says, he called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And it's the most amazing thing. I understand when I talk with people, I don't do it as much anymore, but I used to hang out a lot in coffee shops, just because that's where I like to study and I love coffee. It's sort of a spiritual place for me. And so when I'm there and people are like, oh, you know, I'm not sure about God and I'm not sure about that. And I get it, because I don't believe in the God they believe in either. Because they have a concept of God which I believe is, one, not attractive and definitely not true. You know, and grace, it breaks into our reality. It really does. And grace came, God shows it not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament too. And I know as Timberlake has grown, and now we have a couple campuses starting another service again over in Issaquah, great. We have people from all sorts of backgrounds in this area. People from, you know, you're from Europe, or in different countries there, in Germany, in the Ukraine, in India, in Japan, in China, in Africa, and all of that. But God's grace came to a little group of people in the Middle East, of which I happen to be part of, the Jewish people, right? So why did he choose the Jewish people? Why didn't he choose maybe your background? And I the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm pretty sure it's true. Because grace is this thing, and one of the things that distinguishes the Jewish people, and this is a generalization, but it's generally true, is that we have superior qualities. When it comes to spotting an awesome deal. See, this is it. See, God came with grace and they said, this is the best deal we're ever going to get. And so it came there. And you know, it's interesting. Peter Drucker, who's the father of modern management and also very devout Christian, was asked, why did you become a Christian? He said, I knew I'd never get a better deal. And I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's invitation to something that's simply the best deal of a lifetime, and that's the grace of God. So that it begins there, but then number two is salvation, and that's called saving grace. So we had this prevenient grace, we had this saving grace. This is when we decide to follow God. And this can, I know this can be very controversial, because we have to admit that we need to be saved from something. It offends our sensibilities, that we are good enough on our own and that we need a God who loves us and went to the cross for us. But that's what saving grace is about. It says in Romans 3:24, we are justified freely by his grace. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's from a gift from God. When I came here, I shared a story. And in fact, it's sort of interesting. This weekend, my wife and I have been here at Timberlake 4 years, and so it's sort of a big weekend for us. And the that's great. I was didn't know if you'd clap or not. The but I shared this story. It's from it's a book called Conversations with Mashiqa Asaya. It's an interview with Bono from U2, and he's talking about religion and he's talking about faith. He says this, it's a mind-blowing concept that the God who created the universe might be looking for company, a real relationship with people. But the thing that keeps me on my knees is the difference between grace and karma. And he describes that, in at least his belief, that most world religions are based essentially on karma. He says, what you put in comes back to you, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or in physics, in physical laws, every action is met by an equal and opposite reaction. It's clear to me that karma is at the heart of the universe. I'm absolutely sure of it, yet along comes this idea called grace to upend all this. Grace defies reason and logic. It doesn't excuse my mistakes, but I'm holding out for grace. I'm holding out that Jesus took my sins onto the cross because I know who I am, and I know I don't have to depend on my own religiosity. See, it's saying, I understand what I deserve. But God gives me what I don't deserve. See, that's what grace is. See, grace is deeper than even justice. Justice. We all know what justice is, right? Any of you, okay, well, I'll get to see who tells the truth here. How many of you have been pulled over by a police officer for speeding in your life? Okay. How many of you have gotten a ticket? How many of you were pulled over, but they didn't give you a ticket because of your great looks? Okay, yeah. that's not the reason I didn't get a ticket. But really, the idea is justice would have been, I broke the law, I deserve punishment. But grace is greater than that. Grace says, you know what? God says, I'm going to give you a relationship with this person who loves you, and they see the worst in you. Grace says, I'm going to give you a second chance, even when you have, maybe at your last relationship, yet it didn't work out, and maybe it was on you. See, grace is when God gives us his goodness. That's what grace is about. And what it leads to is, three, transformation. Bible word for this is a theological word, is sanctification. The idea that we become more like God, I talked about that last week, and it's really a cooperation with the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not that I do it on my own. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. See, it's him, yes, trying to do his best, but he understands it comes from God's grace. Think about it for us. We're born into a certain family. We get all these opportunities. That's just amazing grace. This summer, I had the opportunity to hear a number of people speak as I was traveling a little bit. Well, one person taught on this passage, and it really caught my attention. I want to share it with you because I think in a roundabout way, it brings us to a deeper understanding of grace. If you'll look at your Bible or your outline with me, we read in Matthew 26, it says, while Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, before I go any further, it's interesting that he's there at this home. Simon the leper, he wouldn't have had leprosy at the time, or no one would have eaten with him. So this is someone who had been healed. Now, isn't it interesting is that sometimes God has shown us grace and a name still lingers? And for Simon, the name lingered. And I would just say this, don't let any name be attached to you after God has transformed you. Oftentimes we'll say, well, you know, it's financial failure, it's liar, it's angry guy, it's adulterer, it's whatever it is. But see, God doesn't want that to be attached to you. In fact, we read in the Bible, whenever God does a new thing, you know what he usually does is he gives a new name. And so, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, you go out like, you know, Snoop Dogg and change your name. By the way, Snoop Dogg is now Snoop Lion, if you didn't know that. Some of you don't know who Snoop Dogg is, because you're just out of touch. That's what you are. But literally, it's saying who I am on the inside. You've learned about poker and Snoop Dogg today. So read this last part here. The longer part. It says, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And what are we doing today in memory of her? Of her, because Jesus said it, we're telling this story. And it looked like a waste because the disciples are saying, God should have done it differently. This could have been, why would you waste this thing that the money could have been used for something else? See, grace always looks like a waste to those of us on the outside because we don't have God's perspective. We know people, I know people, and you probably feel this way, and you're like, oh yeah, I know God gives second chances, but man. See, it'll look like a waste because we don't know what God knows. And God says it's never a waste in his economy. Well, from this account, we understand part of what happens with grace is, number one, it just creates a mess. It did. Grace creates a mess. There's an account in the Bible, and I have a verse there. I'm obviously not going to teach the whole passage because it would be too long. But there's an account in the Bible where Jesus takes this person who's terrorized by demons, and he puts the demons in the pigs, and the pigs go over a cliff. And so I don't know all that that means, but there's a, it's really, we know it's a bad thing to be demonized. And so that's a happy day, isn't it? You were out of your mind, and you were, and now you're free. And so it was a good day for you, right? But what if you own the pigs? Bad day, huh? Yeah. So isn't it interesting? You think about that. That sometimes grace for other people will cost you something. And by the way, if you want to be a mature follower of Christ, you'll know you're maturing because grace in other people's lives has cost you something. In fact, one of the things that we talk about with people here is the most mature people who are growing in Christ is you're going to be led into a place where grace and God's grace for others will cost you something because the church is the only institution which primarily exists for the benefit of people who are not members. And it's sort of crazy, but that's the way that God works with grace. And we read in the story, what happened? How did people respond? They asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. Grace is messy. I had the opportunity to spend time with a guy named Dave Stone. I was doing a video shoot thing for some small group a number of years ago. This guy pastors a huge church in Louisville, Kentucky, and great guy. He tells the story how God really caught his attention. He was raised as a church guy, but he was going to a church camp. He'd been to a lot of other church camps, and he says this was way different. It seemed like the speaker was really speaking in a real way, and God was really working through the worship, and people were really responding. He said around the campfire, one of the transformational moments for him was this guy who's sort of a popular kid. He said, and he was a church kid, but he said, you know, I just can't live this way anymore. I'm not going to live a lie anymore. And he said, at that church camp, the kid never saw this before, takes out a huge bag of marijuana. And he says, I don't want this anymore. And then he throws it in the fire. Had to evacuate the camp. You know, it was a great response, but it's messy. God's a true story. You know, God's okay with messy. He's okay with your messy. In fact, the people who I have, and this is you, I have the most concern for you, is if you say, you know what, I'm just a good religious person who's looking to fine-tune things. That says that probably you haven't understood, and it doesn't make you bad, but you haven't understood the depth of God's grace, where I am invited and saved and sanctified only by the power of what Jesus did on the cross for me. See, that's the messiness. It also, too, shocks the system. Shocks the system. It really does. There's an account in the Bible of a guy named Ahab. He's known as the most evil king in the entire Bible. And at one point, he has a moment of contrition. He turns to God, and God has the audacity to relent and to not send the disaster he was going to send. In fact, it says that's part of God's nature. And you know what Ahab does after that? Goes back to not following God and doing horrible things. See, that's the question we often ask. Well, you know, if you're talking this grace thing, Bennett, aren't people going to take it too far? Absolutely. People will always abuse the grace of God, and that's up to them. And just make sure that you're not that person. You know, it's sort of, because here's what we're afraid of, is I'm not going to get my fair share. That's what I'm afraid of. My daughter, in fact, she's finishing up this weekend. She's in the Play Godspell over in Kirkland, Juanita area. I've driven her over every day for rehearsal. We drive over when during rush hour. And so that's sort of bad. I live up in, I basically have been going through Redmond up through 85th to get on the 405 right during rush hour. And that's, you know, pretty, the traffic during its peak can go back for like 6 blocks. It's really there, and it's hard to, you got to wait a long time. But every once in a while, you see these people who will drive past all the cars in line, waiting to get on the freeway. And then right at the very end, they're like, they're sort of sneaking in. Like, oops, I didn't know. You know? And invariably, they cut right to the front of the line. How does that make you feel? Yeah, well, before you judge that person, know they're pastoring a growing church. that it takes a lot of time. I wish I was kidding. So Lord, please forgive me for that sin. We don't like it when someone cuts to the front of the line. Do you know what grace is? By the way, I'm speaking now to those of you who would call yourself Christ followers, maybe mature. Grace is when you know that you are maturing in Christ, when you celebrate, when other people go to the front of the line. And you say, yeah, see, that's what it is. See, here's the thing about grace. Number three, it demands a response. Now that God's, you will give a response. We read in that story about the lady who anointed Jesus at Bethany with the alabaster jar. You know what happened right after that? Do you know what the next event is in the Bible? Judas betrayed Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Judas said, I've had enough of this. That's what pushed Judas over the edge. He said, this doesn't seem right. And grace will always do that. It will push you away from God, or it will push you towards God. We all make a choice. My prayer is it pushes you towards God. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, and that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. See, that's grace. That's grace. I shared, you know, growing up, family, the whole poker thing, which is interesting. By the way, on ESPN, I never got this why they show poker on ESPN. Poker is not a sport. If you can eat potato chips, that's called watching a sport, not playing a sport. So there, Dale Brenson, who's sort of the granddaddy of high-stakes poker, he says, the goal of high-stakes poker is to push people to a point of decision. That's what grace is. It really is. A couple weeks ago, I told you my mom was celebrating her 80th birthday, and we had a great party for her. At 56 years old, she became a follower of Christ. She was raised in a background that was really, in many ways, quite horrific. And because of that, that influenced some things in her own life. And with that, some of my brothers and sisters, you know, they looked at her cutting in the front of the line at 56 following Jesus, although a lot of them really don't. They're like, it just doesn't seem right. So there's some resentment. So we had the 80th birthday party, and I orchestrated this grace moment. I think I told you about this, where we were going to all say to my mom something good, and the good things, how basically she blessed us. And I talked about how God blessed us through her. And they're like, oh, we don't need to do this. In fact, one of them I didn't even tell till they got there. I had to actually trick them to get them to do it. And because I roll that way sometimes, I really do. And what do you think you're doing, little preacher boy? Come on, trying to be Jesus Junior, you know? So they didn't but here's what happened at the end of it. They shared, and I could see. I knew this was going to be awesome for my mom. What I did not expect was the visible, almost physical and emotional transformation that, yes, she got grace, but somehow when they shared it, it was like they were free. And for some of us, we're like, well, I just don't know. Here's my question. Do you want to be free? God is not going to do it the way you thought it should be done. It doesn't work. The trump card is God's grace for you to receive and for you to extend. Well, what I want to do is I want to close this in prayer, give us a chance to respond, and then I'm going to lead us into a baptism video. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you come to us, Lord, that you show grace for us. God, I would pray for those of us who are here today, and God, we're just holding on to some bitterness. And God, if we were going to be real honest, that your grace for others has caused problems for us, and we don't want to pay that cost. But God, since we follow you, we repent. Because we know that's us and that's not you. And so, Lord, we would want to operate according to your ways. God, there are some of us who are here, and maybe you're here and you say, Ben, I don't know if I know God the way that you talk about him, but I would like to. If that's you, that you can enter that relationship. No, this never happens by accident. It's always a conscious decision that you can come into that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you just got to tell him you want to. And if that's you, I'd like to invite you into a prayer. You pray silently. I'll pray out loud. I'm not going to embarrass you. You'd say something like this. Dear God, thank you for your grace for me. Thank you that you created me, that you love me. And God, that you have invited me in, that you have brought salvation through your son, Jesus Christ, and that you promised to make me the person that I want to be, and maybe that I never thought I could be. But I choose today that you would be the leader and Lord of my life. If that's you, know this, that God is present with you, that God, that even when you give up on yourself, God will never give up on you. And that this is your day. This is your day of grace. Lord, I thank you for those who have taken that step to follow you. Lord Jesus, we love you and we pray this in your name. Amen.